Ephesians in chapter number 5, Ephesians in chapter number 5, and I'm going to preach for about 20, 25 minutes this evening, and then again, Brother Choi called me and asked if he could share a testimony he felt was going to be very encouraging to everyone, and I said that's just fine, and so we get into the Word, and then before we leave, have Brother Choi just take a moment. But we began looking at parenting on purpose and parenting with purpose. We began looking at that last Wednesday, and we're going to talk to dads tonight, to men this evening, and most specifically, and I'll just say this, you say, well, I'm no longer a parent with kids at home. You're still a parent, and if you're still a husband, then what we're going to talk about tonight applies to you, and so it doesn't change just because kids are in and out of the home. The primary command we're going to talk about for our men tonight is the same whether or not your kids are present or absent. It's your primary command, and so we're going to read really honestly a very familiar passage of Scripture, and then we'll get into tonight's message. But look at verse number 21. Verse number 21 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so I always like to point out for our men that the wives are not the only ones commanded to submit, but all of us are commanded to submit to one another. Amen? Here we go. Verse number 21 or 22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And please circle own, your own husbands. That doesn't mean that women, please hear me out, women are not second class around here or anywhere. And they're definitely not second class in the Word of God. I know the Bible says they are a weaker vessel. We're going to talk about that tonight. That doesn't mean that they're just weaker than men and they can't get as much done. No. They're submitting themselves to their own husbands. You don't have to submit to every man. But you do have to submit to your husband, according to the Word of God. All right? I should have more women say amen right there. Amen. You need to submit. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, now we can move on. To your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Go down to chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And so we look at these texts tonight, and I just want to point out verse 22 of chapter 20 of chapter 5, verse 25 of chapter 5, and then verse 1 of chapter number 6. And again, we are calling these primary commands for the roles that are in the home. And we began to discuss that last week, the roles that are in the home, and that God has designed the home. The home is not evolving. The home is not just morphing into whatever we want to call it or wherever men want to push it. No. God designed the home, and God designed the roles in the home, and roles are good. It's good to have roles. If you have any team that works, it's because there are certain people that have submitted themselves to the role that God has called them to play. And we pointed out that when we started reading in verse number 2, he says that every one of us are to submit ourselves one to another. So we all have a role before he gives us these roles. He said, listen, you're going to have to submit yourself one to another. You're going to have to submit to the role that God has called you to play. And I know we live in a world and live in a time and live in a day where people are trying to redefine what the home is and redefine what a marriage is and redefine what a man or a woman is. That's the day we live in. And God's not confused on the subject, and he's not changed his mind on the subject either. He's very plain that he's established men and women, and he has placed them and given them distinct roles by which they can govern themselves and which they can cause themselves to understand whether or not they're fulfilling the primary command God has given them or whether they are not fulfilling that primary command that God has given. And so these are the roles that are distinguishable. And when we're talking about parenting on purpose, it doesn't just start with my direction of the children and what I'm going to order them to do and how I'm going to command them, even though that is part of parenting. It's a big part of parenting. Listen, it starts with me as a man having a proper understanding of what God's role for my life in my home is and what my role in my wife's life is and what my role in my children's lives is, and the primary command given by God for us men, we're going to talk about men first tonight in verse number 25, is that husbands are to love. Again, I said this is going to apply to you. You say, my children are all gone out of the house. Well, guess what? Tonight, though, still applies to you if you're a husband or if you're a prospective husband. It very much applies to you. I want to be guilty, and I think every parent should be guilty of finding themselves fulfilling the will of God in their life and fulfilling the role that God has for them to play. And so when we talk about dad and we're talking about the primary command, it is given that husbands are to love. And our example is very clear, that our example is Jesus Christ. He's a perfect example, and he causes the church to feel the love because I'm guilty of this myself, but look at this, and all the ladies should be right on board, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You realize that Jesus Christ is the primary cleaning around here. I really didn't like that as I was studying today, but I thought came to mind that he was desirous to make sure that this thing was clean and that it was pure and that that it was shown that it was loved. I'm telling you, my wife, I could get her flowers, but she would not feel as loved with flowers as she would with a clean counter of dishes that have been washed. I'm telling you, that would be love to her, and she would definitely feel great, very loved. And then also, I was thinking this, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. He does the laundry as well. Come on, I'm not being ludicrous. I'm saying he's the primary cleaner of the house. He's the primary laundry doer of the house. I'm trying to avoid eye contact with my wife a lot right now. But that's the reality. As I was reading through our text today, that kind of came to mind. And understand his primary command. I'm not trying to make light of this. I think it's a reality. Is he is trying to show us that he loves us. That's his primary desire, is God desires that we would understand his love and that we would feel his love and that we would have his love that would be infecting and surrounding our lives. I'm sorry, affecting and surrounding our lives. Maybe infecting as well. He wants to be in us, amen. But when we're talking about dad, that we have that primary command. Dad is to demonstrate love in the home. I'm to demonstrate love in the home. And so how I love my wife and how I show my love to my wife and how I show my care and concern to my wife is going to demonstrate to my children what love is. It's going to. And it's also going to not just demonstrate to them what my love for their mother is. It's also going to demonstrate to them what the love of God is. And this world is in a very bad place because there are a lot of Christians and there are a lot of so-called religious people that are involved in religion that have no idea of the example that they provided to people of what God, of what a heavenly father looks like. Honestly, if our heavenly father was like most of our earthly fathers, it's no wonder that a lot of people in this world want nothing to do with our heavenly father. No wonder. And so we have to understand that the picture that I'm giving here, the example that I'm giving to these children, is going to have a great determination upon their desire to have a relationship with God. Say, these kids, my kids, they have no desire to have a relationship with God. You better look in the mirror and you better consider your ways, sir. You need to consider that because your primary command of God is that you are to provide love in the home. And they are to see a picture of love coming from you. And you are to seek to secure your wife and your children in safety, that they would have the understanding that they have one that has given everything for them. That he's given up everything they have, and you say, "Are you guilty of this, Pastor?" I cannot promise. I cannot tell you that I've been 100% guilty of that in my life as a father. Can't tell you that, but I do know this: our Heavenly Father, our Savior was, our Heavenly Father is. He's guilty of that in giving us all security. When we take away the doctrine of eternal security out of the Word of God, I'm telling you, we are dissecting from our Heavenly Father something that is very much rudimentary to His love. That in His love, the salvation that He gives and the love that He's shown us through that salvation, listen to me, it is very secure. And the children should be feeling that security. Love. He loves the home by cherishing his wife. We understand that 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 can be considered here in this idea of love. If you look over at 1 Peter, I'll read it. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter in chapter 3, verse number 7, it says, well, that's 1 John. I'll get to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wives as unto a weaker vessel. As unto a weaker vessel. That you say, well, I just don't like that. And a lot of women don't like the idea of you calling me a weaker vessel. The understanding there is not that they are weak. In fact, the reality is my wife is very much in many ways stronger than I am. Many ways she's stronger than I am. If you ask me to hold a baby, I'm good for like 5 minutes, and then my arms are falling off. And she can do it for hours on end. And I'm not joking or making light of that. It's a reality, and it's not talking about physical strength there whatsoever. When it's talking about weak or strong vessels, it's talking about how cherished a vessel would be. If you went into my grandmother's home when she was alive, she had a display case in her kitchen right by the formal dining room table, and she had a display, a hutch that was matching her dining room table and chairs, and it was filled with, and it was lit, and it had, you know, glass front, and it was filled with dishes that were only there for special occasions. You didn't open the door, pull them out, you didn't look at them. In fact, I don't know what kind of special occasion she was ever waiting for, because we didn't pull them out at Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything. They were displayed only, but they were for special occasions. So we never had special occasions apparently when we were growing up, but in case we ever did, we were prepared. Amen. If we ever had a special occasion, and you understand with me, that's the idea of weaker vessels, that they're so precious, they're put in a place of honor, and we're going to make sure that they're very much protected and taken care of, and we're going to treat them as if they are the most precious, special thing we have in the house. That's the idea of being a weaker vessel. And so when we're understanding our primary command to love husbands, understand with me, we have that in mind. There should be a cherishing that takes place of our wives. And sometimes we have to remember how valuable they are to us. I need to stop myself at different times and take account of myself in my attitude, my actions, and the manner in which I'm even addressing my wife. Am I doing so in a way that would cause her to understand and cause my children to understand that she is cherished and that I cherish her and that I have a great value that I've placed upon her? There should be a cherishing of the wives. If I'm going to demonstrate love in my home, I'm going to have to do it by consideration. Consideration, understanding the needs and the nature of my wife there. And I closed my Bible. In 1 Peter again, chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. So the wife is a weaker vessel. And it says... let me just read that. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Man, I want God, I want to be on the same page with God. I want the Lord to bless my life. Well, I better be considering, and I better give some consideration into the cherishing, into the attention I'm giving to my wife and to how she is feeling in our home at the time. Better be a consideration I have if when I get on my knees and I want to talk to God about the needs that our home has and about the needs that I have in my personal life, I better be giving some consideration to those things. We need to understand the needs and the nature of our wives and of the if you will, frailty of them. I can hurt my wife's feelings very easily and not even intend to do it. I can be guilty of that, and I have been guilty of that very thing. She can testify and say, "Amen." I've been very guilty of that thing. Listen. I need to give consideration when I'm dealing with, when I'm trying to demonstrate love. To demonstrate love by concern for her, her needs, her wants, her desires should be things that are concerning unto me. If she says, "Man, my dishwasher is broke," should be concerning unto me. Come on, the washing machine is not working properly. Well, you just said it's your job to wash. You better get concerned about that. No. I need to be concerned about the things that are important to her. The kids need new shoes. Should be concerning unto me. If those things said, I have this desire. It should cause me to have concern, and that should be able to understand when these are the things I should be praying for. I should be praying for these things. I should also not just have concern for my wife. I should also have concern for my children. I should also have concern for my children. Look at what it says in our text, Ephesians. We read it, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. It says this, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." You can go study those words, nurture and admonition, for yourself. But I'm telling you what, it's going to take consideration. It's going to take concern. It's going to take your involvement. It's not just going to be happenstance that everything just turned out okay. No. There is a involvement, fathers, that you are to have. Husbands, that you are to have. And I praise the Lord for my father who still is trying to encourage me in the Lord and in spiritual things and still trying to provoke me unto righteousness. I praise the Lord for that. I don't want to lose that. I don't look forward to the day where I don't have that. And I understand, but if the Lord doesn't come sooner than later, that's going to be the case, that I might not have that anymore. I'm telling you, it's important to be there. And so there should be concern. And when we look at these instructions given to us here in the book of Ephesians, we need to take them very literally. It shows forth our love to our children. I should be asking my child, hey, have you read your Bible lately? How's your Bible reading been? What did you think of Sunday school? What's your favorite Bible story? I mean, these should be things, not just, well, that's mom's stuff. No. That's dad's stuff. It's dad's stuff. And we as husbands like to relinquish a lot of the responsibilities, but the honest truth is I've been given the command to make sure they're nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. I've been given that command, and it's tied to my love for them. If I really love someone, I mean, this wouldn't be hard for us to understand. I truly had a love and a concern and a consideration for someone's eternity and for someone's well-being, I should have a desire to share with them the truth of the gospel. I should have a desire that they would have a personal relationship and a personal walk with God for themselves, and that they would have an understanding of what God expects out of their life. I mean, it'd be very hard for me to be able to look at someone and say, listen, I've got all this knowledge that God's given me. I have the salvation that he's saved me. He's put his spirit within me. But I'm not going to share it with you. You go talk to your mom about it. What kind of love is that? I'm telling you, it's not love at all. It's not love at all. So dad is to demonstrate love in the home. Dad is to be a leader in the home. He's to be a leader in the home. You are to command the home. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19, the Lord had worked in Abraham's life, because the Bible says Abraham would command his children. And God knew that of Abraham. And God blessed Abraham because God knew that he would be one that would command or order his children. It doesn't mean that, you know, he was like a tyrant, or that he had the bigger, a big badge that he wore around and a big stick that he carried around and he beat everybody with when they stepped out of line. No, it's that he saw what needed to be done and he gave instruction on how it should be done. This is what we're doing today. This is what you're going to change. This is where we're going to go. This is the direction that we're moving in. If you study World War II, some of the greatest generals in battle were not ones that just sat in a tent and just told everybody, listen, here's the game plan, now you guys get out there and perform it. No, there were ones that led their men into battle throughout history. Men that led. Men that were commanders, leaders among men, were ones that didn't just tell people how to fight, but when showed people how to fight. And dad, you're to be a leader in the home. You're to be caring for the family. A leader is one that will show care and concern for his home. If one doesn't show care and concern for his home, the Bible says that if I'm not going to provide for my home, I'm worse than an infidel. Because I don't provide, I don't have any care or concern that my children are taken care of, that they're fed, that they're warm, that they're having their needs met. All right, a man that won't do it. It doesn't say a parent's or a home, a family unit, a mom and dad. It gives that instruction to men. You, sir, are worse than an infidel. You need to be a leader. You need to be caring. You need to construct the home. You need to construct the home. You're the leader. And men like to beat on their chest and tell how much they are the leader. And I'm in charge. And I'm the man of the home. Then lead the home. And lead it by helping to be a constructor in the home. And to construct the home. One who has authority means that they are the author of or the creator of something. That's what authority is. They have created. You are to be building your home, not just in the sense of your physical hands, although your wife has a honey-do list, I'm sure, that you can jump right on, and she'd be thrilled for you to fix some things. But understand with me, spiritually constructing your home. You need to be edifying your wife and your children. You need to be a builder in your house. You need to take upon yourself the responsibility of making sure things are being built in a proper manner in your home. That's the idea of authority is not given unto you just so that you could be able to tell people you're in charge. It was given unto you that you might be able to be the one responsible to make sure that they're seeing the higher authority that's over you. And that's Jesus Christ and God Himself, sir. It's not about you being in charge and everybody doing what you say. It's about you helping to build the home in such a way that it might be able to be constructed unto the glory of God. And then, Dad, you're supposed to lift the home. You're supposed to lift the home. One thing that as I taught in the school there in Canada this last year, I just doing a lot of reading about the home. I was teaching on family life in church, the responsibility of the church as a pastor leading his family and all those kind of things. One of the things that I found interesting is that when you kind of talk about the idea of bringing up your family, bringing up your children, one writer said this, that a man should be big enough to take care of himself, his home, and the lost world. A man should be big enough to take care of himself, his home, and the lost world. You realize with me tonight that most men are not big enough to even take care of themselves. I remember I was a little kid, and I don't know how old I was. My mom would probably say I was 12, 18 years old. I don't know. I was a little kid though, and under the age of 10. I believe in my mind I was under the age of 10. And I remember the microwave quit, and I mean I was like, Mom, what are we going to do? The microwave went out. We'll never eat again. It was a tragic day. I remember that in my life. And understand with me, I had to grow to a place to where I was mature enough to cook for myself and not just go to the fridge and get what other people had prepared for me and warm it up. I learned to cook for myself. I learned to take care of myself. And a real man is one that knows how to take care of himself. That even if your wife was not there, you would be able to, maybe you'd have to take your laundry to the cleaners and get it, and pay to have it clean. But you could do that if you had to, right? You could do it if you had to. And not only that I can take care of myself, I can also take care of my home. I can take care of the needs of the home, and I can take care of the concern and the care of the home. And then, listen to me, I'm still going to have time to show my home how they ought to live a Christian life and have care and concern for a lost world. I'm telling you, a lot of Christian homes are very much declining in their efforts. I mean, a lot of Christian homes are very much declining. Say, no, our time's for us. Our off time, our Saturdays, our this time, our that time, our evenings, it's for our family. So you're teaching your children to love yourself and to love themselves. And we are raising a very selfish generation of Christians. I mean, an extremely selfish generation of Christians. You say, well, we went to church and we have some standards in our life and we're concerned about holy living and all those things, and now we have to have concern for our neighbors? Yeah! Like that was of design of God Himself, that you are to love your neighbor, guess what? As yourself. Amen. As yourself. And so understand with me, when we take this time to be the leader, to lift our home and to bring up our home and to try to care for our home, if we are not teaching our children how to care for the world that is around them, all we're teaching them is how to selfishly meet their own needs and what makes them happy in their little world. That's I'm telling you, we have tons and tons of Christians who are very capable of making sure their every need is met, and they say, oh yeah, we love the world and we'll give to missions, but don't expect me to be at visitation. I mean, don't expect me to go out and put flyers on someone else's door. I have my own time. And yes, yeah, you do, and God's promised you all of eternity with Him. That's a lot of time. It's a real long time. Your life's but a vapor. And He wants you to take some of your time and your talent and sacrifice some of who you are, not just for your wife and your kids, but for the world that's dying around you. He does. You say, where are these kids going to learn how to be a witness to a lost and dying world? Preacher, it's all on you. You're supposed to teach them. No, 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 no. Nope. You, sir, are supposed to teach them. Amen. It's not just my job. If you want them to see my example, then when we get to get visitation showed back up again and rolling, show up on Saturday. I'll be here. Be here on Tuesday night. I'll be here. And they can see my example there, but Dad, you bring them. And let them see your example. Dad is to lift the home. He's to exercise control of the home. Not that just we that we have that we just know all the crazy things that are going on, but we're in control, and we try to bring order to the chaos of the home. And any home, listen to me. If you have kids, you have some chaos. That's a reality. Life is chaotic with kids. And there should be some control of the home. You're to edify the home. One thing that I got really convicted about is just this last semester as I was studying is this statement. I want my wife to be happy because of me, not in spite of me. I want you men to think about that. If you're a husband here tonight, you really need to consider that. Is your wife happy in her life, in her walk with the Lord, in her spirit? Is she happy because it's just the Christian thing to do and she's got to put on a facade when she goes to church? Or are you responsible, sir, for making her happy? Because listen to me, when I stop and I consider the love that Jesus Christ has shown me, I'm telling you, it makes me happy. To know I don't have to spend an eternity separated from Him in a devil's hell. That makes me very happy. And the presence of the Spirit of God in my life, I'm telling you, when you stop and consider that God's ever present with me, I'm telling you, it should make us happy. Amen. And sir, I think you need to ask yourself that question. Is your wife happy because of you or in spite of you? You're to encourage them in the Lord. And then lastly, let me just say this. When we talk about dad is to lift the home, he is to exalt Christ in the home. You're a picture, sir, of Christ in the home. As a husband, you say, well, I didn't know I was taking on that role. Well, guess what? You did. You are a picture of Christ in your home. My children's understanding of who Jesus is and the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with them, it starts right here with me. God desires to have a relationship, very close relationship, that we would want to talk together, spend time with each other, do fun things together. I'm telling you, most of us men, when we put ourselves against the magnifying glass of Ephesians in chapter 5, I'm telling you, we don't match up too good. We don't. The father's role in the home, I'll be done with this. And I'll just say, I'm not trying to go, I wouldn't take this to great extremes. I know there's different philosophies, religions out there that do, but that has his role in the family is to be, these are all alliterated, so I'll give them, but he's to be a prophet. He speaks for God to the home. And by that, I'm not saying he takes the role of the pastor in the church. No. That you can go with a lot of crazy, jump off a lot of crazy cliffs with that. But listen to me, I should be instructing my children as to the Word of God. And no, you're not going to act like that. That's a foolish behavior. And I should be bringing them to the Word of God. And I should be helping them to understand, listen, this is what God's Word says. That's what a prophet does. He proclaims the Word of God. Sir, you're to be a prophet in your home. You're to be a priest in your home. A priest speaks to God for someone else. And sir, you should be speaking to God for your home. You should be praying. You should be a prophet, a priest. You're to be the protector of the physical, the social, the cultural. I want you to understand, cultural right now is big. And I get it. I know some people. We have people here that are not here because they're taking care of an elderly family member. I have great respect for that. Don't get me wrong at all. There are men here there are men that aren't here today because of certain things like that. But listen to me. I need to be aware of the times, and I'm being very serious. If we're going to allow our government to say, listen, you got to fill out a form, and you got to meet our criteria in order to meet, and that's what our governor is saying right now. Listen, if he can give us permission to meet, even if we got it, guess what? We've now given him a right to take it away. Are you with me? If I'm going to believe the reality, if I'm going to live in his world, that he has the right to tell me where I can assemble, and if I can assemble, then he has a right to tell me that I cannot assemble. That's what I'm saying. If I'm saying he has that right, I'm telling you, he doesn't have that right. He doesn't. You need to be aware of the culture. And so, there was, I believe, in the beginning of this, we weren't fighting a culture war. Everything was shut down. And then as things begin to open up, listen, if they can wear a mask and go into a casino and put their hands all over slot machines, and that's okay, and you're just a bunch of foolish Christians. And our government thinks we're just here over a bunch of emotional, you want to go to church and have your emotions met. We're only meeting here because of our emotions. No, we're meeting here because of the draw of the Spirit of God and of the command of the Word of God. That's why we meet. You're to be a protector, sir. A great protector. You're to be a provider. There's physical necessities. There's emotional support that is needed in a home. You're to be a provider in the home. You're to be a patriarch. You're to be the leader. You're the one that the children should be coming to, asking for instructions. I'm telling you, I still call my dad when there's a major decision to be made in life, and sometimes not even major. I mean, just on, Dad, what do you think about stuff that doesn't really matter one way or another? Well, because he's a patriarch in the home. I value his opinion. I want to know what it is. Dad, you have a role to play. Husbands, listen, you have a role to play. It's given by God. It's instructed by God. You better fulfill your role. Because the reality is we're going to stand before him. We're going to give an account. We're going to be called to account. And you say, well, what's he going to call me into account for? Well, he might start right here and say, okay, you took the position of a husband and then you became a father. How do you stack up against your example? I'm telling you, I don't know if I got, whenever any of us would get stacked up against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't know if anybody ought to leave here thinking, especially if you're a man as a husband, man, I'm going to get a lot of crowns in heaven when you're stacked up against the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a big example to follow. Those aren't just, as you talk about, wow, high bar. No, that is the bar. You've been given this primary command. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.